Good morning, I'm Hans-Gorge Ruprecht. This is CKCU Literary News. My guest today is Miss Maxi Blaha, the internationally acclaimed Austrian theatre actress who is presently on a tour, now coming from Japan and the US, and who is in town for a wonderful occasion, about which we will talk in a moment. Maxi Blaha, welcome to CKCU Literary News. It's great to have you on our show today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Let me extend here as well our gratitude to the Austrian Cultural Forum, which brought you here, and I can only emphasize that we are indeed thankful to this great institution because it does contribute a lot to the cultural life here in Canada's national capital. There is a very special reason why you are here. It's in fact a wonderful occasion. You are here with a monologue entitled Soul of Fire, She Fought for Peace, Bertha von Suttner, Nobel Peace Prize laureate, 1905, activist and writer. And you are playing this monologue, which is centered upon this amazing peace activist life, career, and as far as I can see, her commitment to many causes, but of course, primarily to the cause of peace. I should like to ask you, Maxi Blaha, how does a successful, highly regarded actress who has worked under prestigious theater directors such as Giorgio Strehla and major stage directors in Austria and Germany, how did you come to, first of all, being given the amazing opportunity that someone wrote a play for you? We should mention Susanna Wolf, who wrote this monologue, Soul of Fire, She Fought for Peace. How did you get involved with this project?
I was invited to a literary festival where my husband had a reading. He is a very well-known Austrian author, a writer. And I was allowed to pick a book by the publisher who had invited us to this castle where the reading was. And I picked Lay Down Your Arms by Bertha von Suttner. And I read it in our vacation in Greece, lying on the beach, and I was very touched by it. So I decided that I wanted to do something about this amazing woman who had touched me so much by writing this book called Lay Down Your Arms. And when I got back home to Vienna, I read all I could get about Bertha von Suttner and some more of her oeuvre. And I was so fascinated by this Austrian woman that I had only known because her portrait was on the 1,000 shilling on our currency, which is not in use anymore because we're having the euro now, right? So only a certain generation still knows about the shilling. And well, she was at this time when I read the book, I thought she was such an interesting woman that one should do a performance about her life. And as I know a lot of writers in Austria and in Germany, I was thinking that I want a woman to write the play for me. And I was really pondering about this for quite a long time because I couldn't decide who I should ask. And then I asked Susanne Wolf, the very acclaimed German writer. She's a playwright, yes. And she did marvelous plays that I was allowed to be part of. And I asked her if she would be interested in writing a play just for me, a solo performance. And she said yes. Then it went very fast because I did not know that. This all happened in September of 2013. And I did not realize that it was Bertha von Suttner's 100th anniversary of her death in 2014. Not know that. So we got into a rush to finish the play and everything because we had to stage it in 2014. So it was quite hard to find a partner in the beginning who would do the opening, the premiere of the show, because it was already late last year. So I had the idea of asking the president of the Austrian Parliament, Barbara Prammer, who was a friend of mine, and I asked her if she would be interested in showing the play at the House of Parliament in Vienna. And
amazing.
Luckily, she said, yes, I want to have this play in the House of Parliament. So I could do the premiere in the Österreichischen Parlament.
Yes.
Which is really a very special place.
Yeah. Before we come to the play itself and to your own work with plays and theatre and so forth, I'm surprised, seeing from here, that in a way she had to be rediscovered. I mean, she is such an amazing internationally figure, and we will talk later a little bit about her career. Is Bertha von Suttner widely known? We are proud of her. Is this a person with whom people nowadays in particular identify?
No, I don't think that she is well known in Austria. I was amazed by how little people know about her, especially young people, they don't know about her. I mean, my generation and my parents' generation, they all know about her. But the young people, they've never heard of her because, as I mentioned in the beginning, she was only on this shilling note, and she's not. Her books are not available. Some of them you can't even buy. And I think Austrian students and teachers, they don't do enough for her. So that's why I thought I should do a kind of artistic...
A tribute.
Yes, it's a tribute, that's correct.
Right. Well, I can only hope that this international tour, which brought you to Japan, to the United States, and now here to Canada, and you will later on continue, will go with the play to other countries, I think Iran as well,
mm-hmm.
right? That this will bring her work again to our attention, because let's bring it up right away. She is also the author of a book entitled The Machine Age, Das Maschinenalter. She started off with, and I thought there may be a connection between the title of the monologue and her own work. It's entitled The Inventory of the Soul, right? Where she began with her husband to explore ideas which are in her time, let's say late 19th century, early 20th century, so really revolutionary, but not in the political sense, but rather with a focus on new values, right? Because let's emphasize, Bertha von Suttner, born in 1848, who died in 1914, you just said it, is in fact, her title, this is the Habsburg monarchy, Baroness Bertha Felice Sophie von Suttner, Countess Kinsky, born in Prague, right? And raised in a tradition, let's call it the aristocratic tradition, military values, and all the glory of the empire. And at a certain moment in her life, she felt, like many young people do, no, that's not my life. She broke with her family tradition, see? Yeah, we could talk about her career when she was involved with international peace organizations, conferences and so forth. Is this aspect of her life, this breaking out of boundaries and limits which were imposed upon her because of tradition and family values, was this attractive to you? Can you identify, was a woman, a young woman, beautiful, who felt, I have to do something. It's not my heritage which will impose my conduct of life, but it will be something else. Does this attract you as an artist?
Yes, I was highly attracted by her will of changing her life and I think she was a very brave young woman because she broke up with everything and she left the country. She fell in love with her student and had a secret wedding, and they went to the Caucasus together. And yeah, she was very, how can you say, I would say she was very brave from the beginning.
She was a rebel, right?
Yes, she was a rebel, but she was also very smart, and she did not do things that were not well thought, you know?
Yes.
I think she had her plan, her master plan in mind already of changing her life and of having a big idea behind. I like that you are a rebel and that you're brave and that you're courageous, but not stupid, you know?
Right.
Not just
right.
For the fun.
No.
But for a reason.
For a reason.
And
yes.
She had a
yes.
reason
yes.
for everything. In the beginning, she did not know herself.
Right.
But when she was older, when you look at her life, you can say that it was all for a reason.
Yes.
It happened all for
yes.
a reason.
Yes.
And that's what I find very interesting and very
right.
touching.
Yes.
And which I find is crucial for my life too, for all of our lives.
Right.
Often, you know,
yes.
which is... It often has a deeper meaning without you knowing about it.
Right.
Many things.
I really sense exactly that if I look at her career and even the title, you know, the inventory of the soul,
mm-hmm.
as if things did not only come up because of events. I mean, we could talk about the conflicts of the wars at that time and of the political crisis and the Balkans and all that, diplomatic and incidences, but it was really, so to speak, motivated at a different level by in her case. And I think, thanks to her husband, they connected with amazing people, right? She was one of the first on the continent to connect with Hodgson Pratt, the English pacifist, who was involved already in late 19th century with the Arbitration and Peace Association in London.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing also, secretary of Alfred Nobel. Hmm? And she got acquainted with Alfred Hermann Fried, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1911. So there were outstanding people in those days with whom she could work. And for us, it's easy, you know, we take, we send tweets and then we meet. But in those days, one must imagine how this happened, you know. Do you address her difficulties in the monologue about her work, how hard it was for Bertha von Suttner to get started?
Yes, it's portrayed, I think, very well how hard she had to work for her success and that she was in her third year of widowhood, for example, when she got the Nobel Peace Prize. So she was a very old lady then, old, lonely, and very sick also. Yeah, she had cancer and she got the rewards for her work very, very late. And she worked very hard for it, and she had no money. She had to travel a lot, and she had to have this glamorous status to have the same level as all the men had, the politicians had, you know. She used a lot of money to stay in the same hotels and to travel, and she spent a lot of money on her wardrobe. So she was out of money all of her life, but she all did it for a reason. She was the first woman to speak in front of only men in the Colosseum in Rome, which was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really. She did. She met President Roosevelt.
Did she?
Yes.
She was on the tour.
She was received at the White House.
Is that right?
Yes, and she was talking with him about the war in Russia. And she met amazing people.
In fact, she was involved at the Boston Peace Conference in 1911, I think.
Yes.
A very old person.
No? Yeah, she did a number of U.S. tours. She was touring all around the United States, which was amazing for a woman at her age and at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was... Yeah, she was very special.
Yes, indeed.
And she always stayed a woman, which I find very interesting. She was also, always very, very warm-hearted and very emotional. She tried to look appropriate and tried to wear nice dresses and everything. And I've seen quite interesting photos of her with her black leather gloves very interesting. Very special.
Yes. Well, she is perhaps for this generation, for young people that out of schools and so forth, a role model, would you say? She is a role model. She could be a role model. And I think it's about time that we republish her work. Her memoirs have been translated. The title is Memoirs of Bertha von Suttner, The Records of an Eventful Life. Boston, 1910. So this needs to be republished, right? But let's use the remaining time of our conversation to address some aspects of your work as an actress, precisely with this monologue.
Presented, in fact, last night, November 25th, at the auditorium of St. Paul University.
There's a musician involved as well. Let's say, what is the specific kind of artistic quality of the text which you wanted to bring to the fore?
First of all, I didn't want to be on stage alone. And I've worked with musicians before, with different kinds of musicians, especially with jazz musicians, with saxophone players and pianists and a cello, any instrument.
You have also published CDs.
Yes, six
mm-hmm. CDs available. I should add that everything regarding your work is available on a fantastic webpage. What is the... Would you give us a link again?
Yeah, it's www.maxiblaha.at.
Right. And it's a very informative, well-done webpage with many, many interesting...
Thank you.
Yeah, news about your current career. So let's come back to the monologue.
Yeah, and this time I thought I want a totally new instrument for me. And I thought of a bass player because... It's a very emotional instrument, and it's very straight to the point. It goes, the bass player is not the front man. It's always the guitar player who is in the front. The bass is always in the back, but it's a very important instrument to me. It's like your heartbeat, you know? And I thought it would be a nice connection between my words and the bass. And it worked out really well because the young musician Georg, he's very gifted. He's from the Vienna Conservatory, a famous school, and he's a very good partner on stage. And we've been traveling around for the last half year. We have been to Paris and Istanbul and, as you mentioned, to Japan and many other European countries, and we just had a show in Washington, D.C., and now we're here in Canada. So we're a good team, I think. and it works out very well with my voice and his music.
How was the reception in Japan? You were in four cities, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, it was very, it was amazing because we played our play in five different cities, even twice in Tokyo, and it was very different in every city. Just as every city in Japan we visited was very different to the others. So we had a performance in Hiroshima, for example,
imagine,
which was very emotional for me. And it was at a university there, and they tried to make it really theater-like for us, and they tried very hard, and it was very touching. And then we were in Kobe at the big theater. We had almost 500 people in the audience.
Fantastic.
Which is great, and we had a lot of very good reviews, yes, yeah, critiques in very important daily papers, which are well known, and I was very happy about that. And I was very happy that the Austrian Cultural Forum in Tokyo, Mr. Storer, invited us, and he made it possible that we could spend 3 weeks in Japan touring with our play. And I met very, very nice and very interesting people, and I got very good contacts because we were playing in Kyoto in the Peace Museum, Peace Museum, which was also very touching for me to be there and to see the museum and everything. And we had like 300 people in the audience there too. And there were many international students watching our play, and I got many letters and emails.
Wonderful.
From all over the world from these people. And I'm now invited. We can go to Australia, and
wonderful.
Maybe we will even be in New Zealand, and we will go to India.
Maybe, given all that what's happening in the world, it's the right time again for her, right?
Obviously, yeah, must be.
There must be, right?
Yes.
There will be a kind of a renaissance of her ideas.
Yeah, yeah, it's
because her struggle was not the struggle of barricades and demonstration. No, she fought with ideas and with people and got involved in real issues, right?
That's correct.
And I suppose that this is very attractive to young people as well. Did you have a chance to talk to the audience, to members of the Japanese public about the play? Any personal kind of reactions?
Yes, I had the chance of talking to the audience very often, and they always thanked us and said that it is very important that all these topics are mentioned, and that the Japanese society is so reluctant in speaking out the truth. You know, they are very polite, and yeah, they try to hide a lot. And the young people, of course, they want to scream it out, all what's going on, and their fears and everything. And they were very thankful that I spoke up for them.
Right. Perhaps a final comment. You're also a movie actor. You have played in this impressive film entitled Body Complete, about that what happened in Bosnia, see? The movie by Lucas Storm. So are you thinking now to get again involved with artistic projects which, so to speak, connect with that what you have discovered while working on the life of Bertha von Suttner? In other words, to what extent are you as an artist a committed artist to certain ideas, to certain causes? I think for an artist nowadays, it matters to find out with whom and for which kind of project one spends now months or years of one's life, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're very right. The older I get, the more I try to pick what I work what I do with my life and what I work. I've chosen to be an actress, and I can't say that I'm a 9-to-5 actress, you know. I'm an actress my whole life. I have no free time. I think about my plays and my work at night, and I rehearse in between when I pick up my child from the kindergarten or get him there. So I'm very attached to my profession, you know. I can't even say that I'm a private person anymore, honestly speaking. And so that's why it is very important that I do only plays and projects that really touch me and are really important to me. Otherwise, I would not do it anymore, I think, because it's very strenuous and hard work, I think, to be a theater actress. It's much easier to do a movie or a TV show or something, because theater is always live. You always have to be really on top and really you have to be very concentrated. You can't do it again, you know. That's why it needs a lot of training and concentration. And it only pays off if it really matters to you, I think. And then the audience is touched, and then the emotions come and everything. So, yes, I want to do more plays and more theater plays or more projects connected with my inner thoughts and my aims in life.
Yes. Your artistic work with this monologue are also the director, right?
No,
you're not director.
No, I had a director.
Oh, you had a director.
Yes, professional director.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
It was a big challenge because, as I mentioned in the beginning, we had a time rush, so we didn't have a lot of time for rehearsing, and we had 6 weeks, which is okay, but we then knew that we would do it in the House of Parliament in Vienna, in the Parliament, and we thought it would only be for one show, for one performance. And now I think we've done almost 50 all over the place. We've done, I think, 25 shows in all over Austria and then in 7 other countries. So it was very hard for us in the beginning because it was only planned for one show and we didn't have enough money, and we all did it just for fun or for the political and peace topics and reasons. And then the project got bigger and bigger, and more invitations came and more press came, and we had a lot of reviews and were invited to Paris and Istanbul and Bratislava. And I'm also invited to play at the European Parliament next year.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Yes.
So,
yes. Maxi Blaha, I should like to thank you very much for this interview. I wish you a wonderful continuation of the tour, this international tour, and I hope we will be meeting again, maybe in Ottawa or maybe in Vienna. I enjoyed visiting your country this summer and I make a return. So all the best to you.
Thank you very much for having me, and I enjoyed it very much, and all the best to you too, and
thank
to
you.
All the listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was CKCU Literary News, brought to you by the community-based campus radio of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. We can also be heard on stream and as podcast at carleton.ca/litnews. All our broadcasts are available on demand at ckcufm.com. Please follow us on Twitter at CKCU Lit News and on Facebook. Thank you for listening.